we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So since it's a Thursday, you're stuck with me. Actually, I'm excited about today. A lot of good, actually, to celebrate today. I'm usually doing the good, the bad, and the ugly. And unfortunately, lately, it kind of leans towards the bad and the ugly. We like to, of course, be eyes wide open and look at all three. And the Bible applies no matter what, folks, whether we're marching off into 70 years of captivity, which is what was happening in Jeremiah when he said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper. You know, you've all got the coffee mug or the pillow that says that. You just never think about the fact they were headed into captivity, even if we were headed into captivity, which America could be. I mean, we're on the brink, folks. We're teetering between liberty and tyranny, and I don't know which way this thing's going to go. But even if it went to tyranny, we can still praise God. We can still have joy. We can still serve Him in any situation, just like Daniel did and many others in the Old Testament. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I don't, because I'm... Maybe because I'm just a cockeyed optimist, I don't know. Maybe I'm too optimistic. Maybe I'm spoiled. I get to be, you know, almost every night somewhere in the country talking to hundreds of patriots that still love the Lord and love God's word and love the Constitution and love this nation and not willing to give up. They're actually saying, here am I, Lord, send me. And so I've got a little bit of a skewed perspective because of my echo chamber, which tends to be full of patriots across the country. And there's millions. I mean, if you feel like you're Elijah, oh Lord, I'm the only one. And you need to be reminded, as God did to Elijah, 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Let me just tell you, in America, there's millions that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So don't give up. Don't check out. Don't, you know, assume that it's lost, but do recognize that it could be lost. Do recognize that we aren't, you know, we're not that special. I mean, every nation, empire, great society falls apart at 250 years. That's the way it's been throughout history. We are 3 years away from that marker. Now, I think America's unique. I think we broke the mold every step of the way from the very beginning. And therefore, I believe we can break that mold as well. I believe we can last beyond 250 years. And I think we can restore freedom in this country. But it's going to take a lot of hard work, and that's what we do here at The Core. We talk about the core issues that are that have to be reinstilled, that have to be restored, that have to be rebuilt in order for America to once again have freedom, and not only have freedom, but pass that freedom on to our kids and our grandkids. So that's why it's important for you to listen. That's why it's important for you to share the program. It's why it's important for all of us to say, here am I, Lord, send me. None of us. Not a single one of you listening to me right now. None of us have the luxury of sitting this one out. No one can say, somebody else will take care of it. No one should say that anyway. No one should say, there's plenty of other people involved. No, folks, this is an all-hands-on-deck rallying cry right now to get involved in these core issues and make a difference in your community. I'm not saying you got to solve everything. I'm not saying you have to give all of your life, fortune, and sacred honor. But I am asking you to give a little bit of each, a little bit of your time, become a Constitution Coach. You can do that today at patriotacademy.com. Sign up for free as a Constitution Coach and start hosting a class 2 hours a week. That's all I'm asking, 2 hours a week. Invite some folks over to your living room or get a little room there at the church. Or maybe you'll be like a lot of our classes across the country where people are so hungry for this, 400 or 500 people show up and they pack out the auditorium. But even if it's just two or three of you in your living room or in the, you know, break room at the church or at your office or wherever it is, I can promise you when you host a Biblical Citizenship and Modern America course, you will get encouraged and the people that you invite are going to get encouraged. And every week they're going to come back and say, wow, I'm not alone. Wow, I have hope. Wow, there's things I can do to make a difference. So that is your life. I'm asking for 2 hours of your life every week. And yeah, you guessed it. I'm going to ask for your fortune. That's right. Every single one of us needs to be sacrificing some money. We need to be donating to candidates. We need to be donating to causes. We need to be supporting American Family Radio. We need to be supporting Patriot Academy, supporting wall builders, supporting candidates that are standing for righteousness, even if they're not in your district. You know, I'm not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, but I take my wife and I take a certain percentage of our income in addition to our tithe and our offerings. We take some money and we say we're going to give this to freedom. We're going to invest in, you know, a congressional candidate or a state rep candidate or a school board candidate. So that's up to you. I'm not telling you where to give it. I know sometimes that's hard to find candidates you can have some faith in and that you want to give to. And I've thought many, many times about starting a PAC for specifically that purpose, to basically, you know, allow for people that don't know who to give to, donate to a PAC. We'll kind of put all those resources together and then we'll vet candidates and give to them. So, you know, maybe we'll do that this year. I don't know. We've thought about it for a long time. But anyway, lives, fortunes. So, yes, give your money and sacred honor. That's courage to speak truth. That's living the First Amendment. You know, what good is the freedom of religion in the First Amendment if we're not living out our faith, if we're not speaking truth to the culture, if we're not becoming salt and light in a way that will preserve and bring out the best flavor in the meat instead of letting it spoil? So live out your faith. Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, being willing to stand up and use your free speech to live out your free speech. And frankly, to be the press, you know, I mean, we don't have the old school press in America anymore. We don't have trusted sources out there that the whole nation kind of listened to and got an unbiased report. That doesn't happen anymore. So you have to be hungry. You have to be willing to do research, and you have to go find some good sources. Which, of course, if you're listening today to At the Core, you have found a very good source. But I'm just saying, you've got to be the press as well. You've got to be the force multiplier in your community that's sharing the good stuff with folks. So, all right, there's your challenge for today. Lives, fortune, sacred honor, a little bit of each. If we'll all do a little bit of each, we can save this country, folks. I do believe that. I absolutely believe that. Okay, let's hit some of the headlines, the good, the bad, the ugly. Lots of good happening. Listen, man, this boycott of Target and Bud Light is paying off big time. These guys are limping. I mean, they are hurting big time. Let me see what the latest numbers are. I had seen somewhere around 10 to 15 billion for both has been lost. So Target's market capitalization fell about 10 billion, about 10 and a half billion, which was 15%. They lost 15% of their market value in just a few weeks because of their absurd rollout of all of this transgender nonsense in the kids departments and right in your face as soon as you walk in the store, all of that. Anyway, they are paying the price for it big time. Bud Light, of course, has already been paying the price. They've had a decrease of 18%. And wow, this is hard to believe, folks. $24 billion. $24 billion. You go woke, you go broke. I'm trying not to smile as I say this, but do you feel like me? You know, we lose so often on these things. When we win, when we see that we can win, when we see that the pressure is on, and we see them backing down. I mean, it's small back downs right now, like Target's pushing the stuff to the back of the store. Bud Light's trying to find some, you know, ways to wrap themselves in the red, white, and blue and act like they, you know, didn't go totally woke. And the company, Anheuser-Busch, that, you know, Bud Light's, of course, one product of many for them, trying to distance all their other brands from the Bud Light brand. So they know that we have been awakened. And I can't wait to see what happens to Major League Baseball. I mean, I hope the Los Angeles Dodgers absolutely go bankrupt. They deserve to go bankrupt for embracing this horrific, disgusting group that not only makes fun of the Catholic Church and makes fun of the Christian religion, but they completely distort it in absolutely deviant ways. These are basically transgender guys. These are guys dressed up as nuns in really disgusting ways, doing incredibly disgusting things. And the Los Angeles Dodgers decided that that's something they should highlight. That's something they should bring attention to and promote at a baseball game, at a family outing of a baseball game. So that's the Dodgers for you. I've been, as you know, if you listen to the program, I've been already boycotting Major League Baseball for 3 years now. Whew. It's been painful for me, folks. That was my sport, you know. That was the Green family sport. I coached all of my boys in baseball for years and years and years. We went to every Major League Baseball park almost. We had 28 of the 30 ballparks that we had attended. I mean, we love baseball, you know. Baseball, apple pie, all that good stuff, right? And it just broke my heart, man, 3 years ago when they bought into the – I called it Black Lives Mafia. I forget the caller that called in the other day when I said that and said, no, it's Black Lives Maoist. I love that. I'm adopting that. All over the wall, you know, the Major League Baseball website, all the baseball players started kneeling. They were the last ones. I mean, you know, the football and basketball and all that went woke way, you know, right off the bat. Baseball held out for a little while, but then it gave in, and I said, no way, not getting another penny for me. And they haven't been to a game, haven't watched a game for 3 years. That's been tough for me because that was my sport, man. I got to tell you, I know that sounds silly. That's like, you know, the founding fathers giving literally their lives. They're dying. Our military. You know, families that put their lives on the line and wives that go, you know, have to watch their husbands go off to war and all of that. That's real sacrifice. So my little sacrifice for baseball is not a big deal and very small, but but was a big deal to the Green family. Anyway, all that to say, Dodgers, I hope you go broke, completely broke. And I will say, I am thankful there's a couple of, I think, Kershaw and another player have come out for the Dodgers and said, we don't agree with this. We're Christians. This is against our values. I appreciate that. You know, nice letters that they put out. And I may regret saying this. You know, some of you are probably going to get on to me for saying this. But the tweet that I saw, somebody shared this letter from this player for the Dodgers and said how bold they were. I get it. I mean, they're bold, I guess. To speak up and they're going to get a lot of hate, but you know what bold would be? Bold would be saying, I'm not playing. Bold would be saying, I know you're paying me millions. I'm willing to give up the money. I'm willing to give up the fame because I will not participate in this absolute disgusting, deviant, horrific, evil promotion in front of children. And so at a minimum, the Dodger players should have said, I'm calling in sick on that night when you bring those guys out and you're going to promote these sick, twisted people. I'm going to call in. In fact, I'm going to call in sick and disgusted, like sick and tired, sick and disgusted of this stuff being shut. And you know, if every Dodger player that actually trying to think of a nice way to say on radio this that was a man, let's just put it that way, and has the tools of a man and a backbone. That any Dodger player that fits that description would say, I'm not playing, at least on that night. If not saying, I'm going on strike. I'm not going to support a team and a business that supports this stuff and undermines the country and undermines the values and brings this horrific stuff in front of kids. I mean, that would be bold. That's what I'd like to see from some Major League Baseball players. None of this, you know, I put out a statement. Put out a statement that I disagree. That's great. I'm sorry. I know I'm dismissing it. Everybody else is just fawning over these players that are doing that. It's not enough. It's not enough. Lives, fortune, sacred honor. This is not going to happen easy, folks. It's time for us to sacrifice. It's time for us to be willing. And this other ball player, this guy from the Toronto Blue Jays, I don't know, this total wimp who had put out a tweet, you know, that was somehow taken by the LGBTQ 47 other letters community as offensive, he literally got on television and groveled. I mean, groveled. And you could see the pain in his face because it was going against everything he actually believes. But he completely wimped out. He bowed to the mob. And friends, I'm telling you, when you bow to the mob, they will never leave you alone. This guy is owned now. I forget the player's name now. But he is owned by the left. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Okay. All right, folks. I wasn't planning to spend my whole first segment on that, but I just want to celebrate with you that when we actually vote with our dollars, we can cause them enough pain that they back up and they stop undermining everything that the American value system is all about. We'll have some more good news for you when we come back from the break, and we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you staying with us today. We've been talking about some of the good, the bad, the ugly, specifically the good news that when we stand up for what we believe and we're willing to just a little bit of sacrifice, just to give a little bit of sacrifice, you know, not buy something or have the convenience of buying from somewhere that we like or are used to buying from, like a Target, right? I'm probably not in this audience, but, you know, giving up the Bud Light and going to something else, you know, maybe it's just not going to a baseball game. Well, again, hard for me. That's a big sacrifice for me. And if you think about how many major league games we used to go to when we were on the road, that added up, man. I mean, we had to have it in the budget to be able to do it. So they don't get that from us anymore. But what we're seeing is when people do band together, when it's so in your face that you just can't stand it, then it costs them big time. Target down billions. Bud Light down billions. I'll tell you who's next. Just want a little bit of a prediction here. PetSmart has apparently given $600,000 to this radical LGBTQ group, GLSEN. Chick-fil-A, folks. Chick-fil-A. We can't lose Chick-fil-A. It's supposed to be one of the few companies we can feel good about. Man, I mean, they are now going with all this ESG nonsense, this diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's going to impact who they give franchises to. I mean, they get thousands of applications every year. They only do 60 or 70 franchises a year. And now, you know, they're going to factor in all this other nonsense instead of merit, instead of values. It's going to be color of skin or whatever other ridiculous diversity, equity, inclusion, spitting in the, you know, on the grave of Martin Luther King Jr. type standards that these people go for. I mean, they're doing the opposite. They're actually judging each other based on the color of skin instead of the content of the character. How did we reverse this? We were doing so good in America. We were doing so good. We had moved so far from where we had been. We had serious problems all over the country. We had moved so far to where that was really isolated to a few certain areas. You're always going to have, you know, we're sinful people, right? We're human beings. But, I mean, this business of reintroducing systemic racism, which is what you're doing when you actually judge people based on the color of their skin. That's a racist. So if you actually decide whether or not you like someone based on the color of their skin, whether or not you think somebody should be hired based on the color of their skin, whether or not someone has privilege based on the color of their skin, you're a racist. You're a racist. That's it. You are the racist if that's the way you see people. We're supposed to see each other as neither Jew nor Greek. We're supposed to see each other as all part of, as Alveda King, MLK's niece, taught me and taught my kids, standing right there in the church where MLK grew up, she said, you know what? We're all the same race. One race. The human race. Black brothers and sisters, white brothers and sisters, red brothers and sisters, yellow brothers. We're all part of the human race. And these Marxists that hate America have now weaseled their way into all of these corporations. And they're bringing about this Marxist ideology to try to divide us. Walmart is even doing it. Walmart's going after all this ESG stuff. It's just bad, folks. That part is bad. So what's it going to take to turn it around? Exactly what we did with Target. Exactly what we did with Bud Light. Right? It's got to become, you know, we use this phrase parallel economy. And what we mean by that is that those of us that have any sense of American values left, if you've got biblical values left, you're going to have to start thinking about where you spend your money. And it might be a little more difficult. You might even have to pay a little bit more for a product. But we're going to have to start supporting companies that share our values, or at least companies that are neutral, that don't get involved in the fight. They just make chicken, right? Or they just make clothes and sell them. It's really bad. I mean, it's a double whammy with Chick-fil-A, right? Because they stood with us on marriage, and we rewarded them for that. We absolutely rewarded them for that. Christians flocked to Chick-fil-A's. We made that our first choice, not only because it's the best chicken on the planet and the Chick-fil-A sauce is some sort of crack in a can. I don't know how they make it or what they put in it, but I'm addicted. You know, all of those are part of it, but it sure felt good giving your money at the door, at the drive-thru, knowing that it was a corporation that was supporting good things. And they still do support a lot of good things. But this is a cancer, folks. It's an absolute cancer. all of this cultural Marxism, CRT, ESG, DEI, all of these acronyms that stand for basically we're Marxist and we're going to judge people based on the color of their skin. All of that is a cancer. And once you get it and it starts getting into the cellular level of your company and at this point our country, it is almost impossible to get rid of for those companies. As a country, we're only going to get rid of it if we stop supporting the people that are doing it. And we have to choose that with our dollars. So praise God, victory with Target and with Anheuser-Busch. Let me just reiterate, like I said in the first segment, it's, 10.75 billion for Target. That's what they've lost. A 15% roughly decline in their market capitalization. Anheuser-Busch, which owns Bud Light, a decrease of 18%, which was $24 billion. I know the Bible says not to celebrate when your enemy is being punished by God. So I'm trying not to smile. I'm trying really hard not to smile. But if you're watching on video, I'm smiling. I really am. Okay, phone number if you'd like to call in and be a part of today's program, 888-589-8840. And let me, if I could digress a little bit, because sometimes people hear me rant about this stuff and they think that I'm against certain people or that I'm not compassionate or whatever it might be. Not at all. Listen, folks, we're all sinners and I am chief, right? If we all lived out, you know, if we all lived by the I was just born this way, oh my goodness, we would be all be destroyed. When you just go with your sinful nature, you're going to destroy, whether it's heterosexual sex with you know, everyone you see of the opposite sex, or it's homosexual sex or whatever. Sin is sin, and sin will destroy your life, right? And what we've done in the church is people used to perceive that, you know, 50 years ago that the church was only against homosexual sex and not against heterosexual sex outside of marriage, both of which are unbiblical and sinful and will destroy you. People perceived that the church only would call out homosexual sex. And so as a result of that, we completely swung the other way to where so many in the church are afraid to speak out against all sex outside of marriage. I remember one of my pastors one time drew on a whiteboard, just basically said, sex between a man and a woman in the covenant of marriage, and drew a box around that and said, that's it. That's the only biblical, you know, sex. That's the only one that's not sinful. Everything else, regardless of who the partners are, how many the partners are, any of that, is sin. Everything else will destroy you and destroy your life and destroy your family. And that's the way we absolutely should teach it. But unfortunately, too many people are afraid to still say sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman is sin. And you know, we can't do that. And so, but when we speak out against the flaunting of sin, and we speak out against the indoctrination of our children with that sin, when we speak out against mental illness and sexual deviancy being made normal, people should understand we're speaking against the sin, not the person, and we're not saying that we're any better. We're all sinful. Anyway, all of that to say, we've got some fantastic resources because we do not shy away from these issues and speaking truth and just being biblical. You know, it's not political. It's not one party or another. It's not, you know, favoring certain people. It's just being biblical, just doing our best to follow what the Bible says. And so here at AFA, we've got some great resources as we enter into what they call Pride Month. I think Pride Month should be, you know, June is Pride Month. Going into July 4th, we should be talking about being proud to be an American. That should be what Pride Month is all about. Not waving this fake rainbow flag, stealing the rainbow from God, but instead waving the American flag and saying throughout the month, we are proud of being Americans. It was June 7th, which will be next, Tuesday, whenever Richard Henry Lee stood up on the floor of the Continental Congress and said, these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Committed treason right there in the Continental Congress. John Adams seconds the motion, and then all through June they debate the Declaration. Jefferson comes back with his different drafts. He initially, of course, lambasting slavery, and South Carolina and Georgia objected to that, and we couldn't keep the Union together without, you know, taking that out. And so they go back and forth, and then ultimately we finally get to July 2nd and vote for independence, and then July 4th it goes out to the world, and Hancock and Charles Thompson. Johnson sign it on July 4th, goes out to the world, and then they all come back August 2nd to sign it. Why did I just say all that? Because those are the things we should be celebrating. We ought to be highlighting our pride, not a sinful pride, but a we're proud of what we have and what God gave us, more of a humility pride, if that even makes sense to you, that our nation is blessed. That's what Pride Month should be about, not all of this sexual deviancy stuff. And in fact, I'm going to be with my buddy Kirk Cameron tomorrow at the homeschool convention in Texas, and he's got a new book on humility, a book on humility being released in Pride Month. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's good thinking on his part. Okay, back to the resources. Two of our resources from the Cultural Institute, Practical Ways to Minister to the Sexually Broken. Listen, every one of us has someone in our life, in our family, in our church, in our community, friends of our kids, whatever it might be, that is dealing with being sexually broken, heterosexual or homosexual, transgender, whatever. I mean, it could be many, many, many things, pornography, whatever. It's a lot of different things that need to be dealt with. So we have some tools on the website for you. And then specifically, this idea that people are out there promoting that you can be outside of God's, not only his will, but his commands in the Bible with regard to sex, and be perfectly fine. It's okay. You know, you can be a gay Christian, that you can be actively living out homosexuality, and that's perfectly fine. That there's no scripture in the Bible that's going to back that up, right? It's not that you wouldn't have same-sex attraction in and of itself. That's a whole different ballgame than actually living in sin. Anyway, the theological error of gay Christianity, also available, and we'll have links to make it easy for you to get both of those. Streaming.afa.net is the website, or you can get the DVD at resources.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net or at resources.afa.net, and we'll have links in the show notes today as well. Okay, I've been putting off the folks on the phone for too long. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I did want to mention that Trump has made a lot of promises the last couple of days and some big speeches, and I like them. Man, these are good promises. If he gets elected to be president again, I hope he does all of these. In fact, I got to point out, he's kind of stealing my thunder, okay? We've already been planning for a massive celebration on the 250th anniversary of America. So in 3 years, 3 years and a month from right now, July 4th, 2026, will be the 250th anniversary of our nation and the Declaration of Independence. So we're working on a massive game plan to educate people on the Declaration between now and then, and then have a huge celebration. So mark your calendar, July 4th, 2026, a huge celebration at the Patriot Academy campus in Fredericksburg, Texas. We're going to build Independence Hall as a part of this, so you'll be able to celebrate with Independence Hall. You'll be able to go into Independence Hall and sign the Declaration of Independence as you come. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Well, apparently, the president is also pushing for this type of a celebration. I didn't know that he was planning this. I think it's great. We'll try to plug into this one way, shape, or form somehow. I'll read more details about it, but I think it's great. I think it's great. Absolutely. I know it sounds like it's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely great. It's going to be huge. Well, our event is going to be huge in Fredericksburg for sure, and I'm assuming that the president will have huge events as well. He's also promising to add 100 new U.S. attorneys. I think this is good. I think this is good. I think it's needed. And I think, you know, listen, with all of these DAs that are Marxist and that are, you know, doing the jailbreak and letting everybody out and not prosecuting crime, that's probably a good thing. I'm going to have to think about it, though, because I'm also out there advocating for getting rid of the DOJ, not completely rid of the DOJ, getting rid of the FBI and shrinking the DOJ, getting the federal government out of law enforcement and making sure that's a state and local thing. But you do need U.S. attorneys to deal with certain issues. So, you know, I'll dig into that a little bit more. Now, he's also promising to end birthright citizenship. He did this in the first term, though. I mean, he promised to do this in the first term, and he didn't. So, you know, that's one that he's already promised that. But I get it. You can't always accomplish the entire agenda in 4 years. He still accomplished a tremendous amount of his agenda. So I can give a little grace on that one. He's saying death penalty for drug offenders. That'd make an interesting debate here on the program. Wants to get rid of CRT. I'm 100% for that. He says he's going to pardon some of the J6 folks. Now, he says, I'm inclined to pardon many of them. I can't say for every single one because a couple of them probably got out of control. He's right. There's some of them that got out of control that were violent, that broke things. And if they were an instigator and they were an Antifa undercover, all that stuff, absolutely no mercy, no grace, right? But I do think even if they got out of control, that it should be a blind justice, equal justice situation. They should be treated the same as those who burned cities during 2020 with Black Lives Mafia, Black Lives Maoist. Thank you to our caller from the other day, and Antifa. So I don't. There shouldn't be two different punishments, which is what's happening right now. You know, everybody in the Black Lives Mafia thing let out the next day, even if they were arrested, and Kamala Harris raised money for them, all of that stuff, and yet you got these people from January 6th being given 10, 12, 15, 20 years. I mean, it's insane what they're doing right now in terms of the punishment for these folks. All right, well, there's a whole lot more in his agenda. We'll come back to that, maybe talk a little bit more about that. How about we go to the phone? Oh, Cornelius is back. I'm going to Cornelius. He's the one that helped me out with my Black Lives Maoist. Thank you, Cornelius. Thanks for calling back in. I was so glad you called back in because I couldn't remember. I've been using it ever since you gave it to me last week. I've been using it in multiple speaking engagements. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling back in.
Look, I got a good one for you, and I hope you let me on long enough. This is what woke means, and you're going to go broke. Woke, W, willfully okaying evil. So that was what woke means. Willfully okaying evil.
I love it. All right, man, we're 20 seconds from the hard break. But thank you. I'm going to steal that one, too. You get credit the first two times, brother. Then it's mine. Cornelius, thanks for calling in from Louisiana. Stay with us, folks. We got to take a quick break. Phone number is 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio, with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Rick Green with you this afternoon. I'm America's Constitution Coach and your host on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Appreciate you staying with us for our final segment of the day. Got quite a few on the phones already, but let's give out the number one more time just in case. 888-589-8840. We've been talking about some of the headlines, some of the good news that the boycotts with Target and Bud Light paying off big time. Now, hopefully, we'll do more of that. Don't you dare spend money at PetSmart. They're giving a bunch of money to these radical leftist groups. And then let's make sure we're not spending any money with MLB. I'm sorry. You just got to join me on this one, folks. I know I'm a big baseball fan, too, but it hurts. It hurts to see them spending this capital on undermining everything that we care about and everything that we love. All right, Melissa from Oklahoma calling in. Melissa, thanks for calling in. Where in Oklahoma are you?
I'm in Poto.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. What's your comment or question today?
Well, I would think it would be foolish of us to believe that the Dodgers didn't know that this day was coming since the beginning of the season. And that being said, are they going to have their wives and children in those stands watching all of this? And how could they justify that to their children?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, it makes you wonder, right? I mean, they should think like John Wayne did. John Wayne always said, I will not make a movie that I cannot sit down and watch with my own kids or grandkids, right? That was a great way to decide what you were going to put your resources and your business towards. That's how the Dodgers should be thinking. I'm not going to promote people at a game that I wouldn't invite into my living room to hang out with my kids and my family. And yet here they're inviting and I'm not even going to go into how disgusting it is. I mean, they literally have a thing where they dance around a Jesus character on the cross with sexual stuff. It's unbelievable. Melissa, I think you're right. I think they knew from the beginning of the year, because a lot of this stuff is filed way ahead of time. They did initially say they weren't going to do it. Like, initially they had the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence planned, and then they withdrew. And then, of course, just like with the player from Toronto that groveled before the LGBTQers, they got mobbed, and so then they gave into the mob. And once they gave into the mob, man, that's it. Now they are owned by the left. And so initially, I think they knew. Of course, they knew it was on the calendar. They got enough pushback from Christians and people of just, you know, common sense and values that they withdrew. And then the left went nuts, and so they said, oh, yeah, not only are we going to have them there and have their special night, we're going to promote them and all this. So, yep, it's bad news. Bad news for the Dodgers, bad news for MLB, because I think, you know, this is becoming, as I said, a cancer, and it just grows. And so you're going to see it's not just going to happen with the Dodgers. It's going to spread all throughout Major League Baseball at this point. Okay, let's go to, let's see, who did I have up next? Sherry's a first-time caller from Texas. I think that's how you say it. Sherry, is that right?
Yes. It's Sheree, but that's fine.
Ah, Sheree. Okay. What part of Texas are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Houston.
All right. I'm headed to the Woodlands tonight. I'll be there for the Texas Homeschool Convention tomorrow.
Okay. Well, hey, this may be a little different for you, but I was raised Christian and very right-wing and everything, but when I turned on my radio today and I heard you talking about the, you know, biblical things and LGBTQ and everything, I was a little confused because are we supposed to really follow everything in the Bible, do you think?
Well, I would say the Bible speaks to everything in life, and there's not a single issue we deal with, whether it's sexuality, taxes, government, family, that the Bible doesn't give us very clear instruction on. So if that's what you mean, then the answer is yes. If what you mean is that there was some Old Testament custom or worldwide custom from, you know, 2000 or 15, you know, for 5,000 years ago that would not fit in today's culture, but is not a biblical command for today, then, which might be where you're going with this. I don't know. I shouldn't guess. I should let you finish. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, I've just heard, you know, women be quiet in the church and that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's so many things we don't. My question is related to how you view LGBTQ people. Why is it that you, in particular, or others within the organization stand in judgment of those people who are expressing their own sexuality? I mean, why are you guys the judge and jury of that? I'm confused.
Yeah, great question. Well, we're not. God is the judge and jury, and the laws of nature and nature's God are set. We don't pick that. We don't choose that. We don't change that. He put that in motion, and he gave us the laws of nature and nature's God for a reason. And so, you know, to say that we're the ones that are judging them, I think is maybe misunderstanding. And I'm sure there's been individuals that have not articulated it well, and I'm probably not articulating it that well either. But it's not my role. It's God's role, and it's the way he made human nature, male and female, he created. That's not just from the Bible. That's science itself. And so for these people to go against not only God's law, but also the laws of nature and science itself, we're supposed to be discerning and we're supposed to be truthful. And so we're not being judgmental. We're being discerning and truthful. Not that being a judge of right and wrong and actually being able to tell what is right and what is wrong is a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. That's called wisdom and discernment. And so to say that you know, someone is just being themselves, well, if I'm just being myself, then there's a lot of things that I would do that are in my nature that would be harmful to me, to my wife, to my children, to my community. And so I would think you've probably got instincts that you've wanted to do things that you knew better, and you knew that's not good for me. That's not good for my family. That's not good for my community or my children. And so you had to, you know, kill that part of your flesh or your desire and say, no, there's a better way. And that's essentially what we're talking about when it comes to sex. I don't think anybody would say that it's good or healthy for someone to have sex with, you know, 500 different partners. I don't think anybody would say that it's good or healthy for someone to, you know, cheat on their husband or their wife. So it's the same thing when we say sex is only healthy when it's between a man and a woman in a monogamous relationship. And once you get outside of that, you start having to deal with disease, with heartache, with physical problems with the body whenever you're doing homosexual sex. I mean, there's so many things that science showed us a long time ago. This is not good for the human body or the human brain or for relationships. So, I mean, I can make biblical arguments for it, but I can also make scientific arguments for it and just good old-fashioned This is the practical aspects of life and how things work. So if that's judgmental in your mind, I would argue it's really just being observant. It's really just being practical about. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I've been trying to interject. So, you know, if you look at the natural world, there are animals who are actually homosexual. So how do you explain that? Because they did not actually make that choice.
That is a very rare exception in nature, in an aberration. That is not the norm. Would you agree with that?
About people who have rights and should be respected. If you want to be
that,
trans,
I missed that last part. I was trying to answer your first question. Hey, Sheree, can you hear me?
To make a choice, can you hear me?
Yeah, I was trying to answer your question.
I can hear you. Okay.
I was trying to answer your question. So, on the animals in nature thing, extremely rare. In fact, can you name an animal that homosexuality is natural for them?
Ants, among others. Look
a what?
Up.
So, no, I'm asking you. You're the one that brought it up.
Excuse me. I'm telling you that what you are projecting is the idea of God and the Bible being the ultimate judge, but you are the one who is mandating that judgment. And I'm just asking you to open your heart and your mind to respect individuals and respect their choices.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I very much respect people's choices, and not respect their choices. I respect them as people. That doesn't mean I have to respect their choice from the standpoint, if you choose to beat somebody up, am I supposed to respect that as a choice? If you choose to gamble away your money and your family and your children go broke and the government has to, do I have to respect that as a choice? Of course not. People make choices that are bad. People make choices that are harmful to them, to their family, and to the community. And society has a responsibility. We as mature adults have a responsibility to actually look at the outcome and not just say, do whatever feels good, no matter the consequences, as long as you're being you. That's not love. That's hate. That's actually hating that person so much that we're not willing to say what you're doing is going to hurt you and harm others around you. And you know, listen, I'm not even saying that, you know, that you force people to not do something or do something, but what you don't do is promote something that is unhealthy and that harms families and harms the individual that's participating in it. And that's where we probably disagree, is that you may not be willing to admit that the things that you're asking me to respect are actually harmful things, even to the person that's choosing to do that. And so if one of my kids decides that, you know, doing drugs feels good, and so that's part of who they are and they want to do that, do you think I'm going to just say, oh, you be you. Hey, go for it. No, I'm going to say, are you kidding? You're going to destroy your life. I'm going to do everything I can to encourage them not to make that bad decision. If one of my kids decides that, you know, they want to sleep around and have premarital sex with hundreds of partners, would I say, hey, that's what makes you feel good. Your sexuality is your identity. Go be you. No, of course I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say you're way more than your sexual proclivities. You are way more than your desires. God designed you with a conscience that allows you to be able to choose right from wrong. We all make mistakes. We all choose wrong sometimes. We have to live with the consequences of that. But boy, howdy, shouldn't we learn from those mistakes, learn from those consequences, and do our best to help others to not have to live with the pain of that? And I think what we're seeing with the LGBTQ and all the rest of them community is a lot of pain, a whole lot of pain for not only them, but people in their lives. And all we're saying is there's a better way. We're not forcing people. It sounds like that may be what you're thinking we're suggesting here. But we are saying you're not going to put that stuff, you're not going to make that stuff normal for the children and our families and our communities. There are certain things, folks, that are so bad for the community and for the future of a society and a nation that you don't allow it to be promoted. The founding fathers of America certainly understood this. In fact, all of civilization understood this until 15 minutes ago, quite literally 15 years ago. that you don't promote this stuff because it undermines culture, it undermines the family, and it undermines a society. And every nation that embraces this stuff and tries to make it normal because they don't want to be what Cherie's talking about, quote-unquote judgmental, every nation that does that ends up being undermined and destroyed. And you can see the destruction happening right now in America as a result of this. You can see the division. It's bad stuff, folks. And, you know, there's nothing there's nothing that destroys a nation faster than being unwilling to call out good and bad. In fact, back to the Bible, those who would call evil good and good evil, they're destroying America. That's what's happening. We're trying to make things that are bad for us look like they're good just because we want to make people feel good. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Man, that's not love. That's hate. We've redefined love in America. And hopefully there'll be enough people willing to speak truth, regardless of what we get called for it, you know, whatever names people want to use, you know, because we're willing to stand for truth. Frankly, that's what America's all about. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We've been talking about celebrating the Declaration of Independence, 250th anniversary coming up in 3 years. Well, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, guess what? Truth is the foundation of this nation. And when you get rid of truth and you say there is no truth, everybody just, you pick your own truth. Everybody, as long as you feel good, whatever your truth is, then there is no nation. And there certainly isn't going to be a free nation, because as soon as you get rid of religion and morality, liberty is the next one to go. And that's not Rick Green saying that. That's George. Yeah, father of the country, the indispensable man. He said religion and morality are indispensable supports of political prosperity. Not personal, political. So in other words, if you want the society and the culture and the neighborhood and the country to do well, you got to have religion and morality as bedrock principles of it. Sometimes we want to buy into this libertarian idea that you just let everybody do whatever feels good and support everybody no matter what they're doing, and that somehow that's freedom, or that somehow that's being nice. Now, George Washington went on to say, in vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism that would work to subvert these great pillars of religion and morality. If you don't have morality, you won't have liberty. You won't make it to the car from the grocery store without being raped, murdered, or stolen from. We have to restore morality. We need religion to do that. And if we restore the morality, then we will once again have liberty. All right, folks, we're out of time for today. I sure appreciate you listening. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.